Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 may have an integrity problem. Patrick Creighton, the host of Late Hits, which you can hear starting at 9 most weeknights here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, tweeted this out. And I don't know what any of this is, but when there's gossip going on at the station, you bet your bottom dollar I want to be a part of it. Tweeted Patrick, "I am not surprised at all by the incredible pettiness and sheer douchery, by some of my colleagues like Joe George, producer of The Killer Bees, and Joel Blank, host of The Killer Bees, among others." Well, who are the others? Definitely Sean. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, he said douchery, right? Yeah, so it's me.
Can't obviously be me. Who would ever call me that? You know? Although Patrick did call me a vagina once on the radio. That was funny. Hey, let's continue, though. "Expected more from Joel? Maybe I shouldn't have. Thought we were friends? They allege that I fudge my picks each week because I'm crushing them in NFL picks this year. Never mind that I give my picks on air on Friday. Since there's no prize for winning, there is no incentive for being better than everyone." That is a humble brag. There's no incentive for being better than everyone. "Plus, they whine about having to pick each game. Cry me a river." Well, it is hard to pick each game. That's why we do the pick six. And then we don't tell you what our record is.
Yeah, there's a lot of... I'm in this picks pool. Another reason why it might be me, among others, that are general douches. But it is tough. Every once in a while when you get like... I don't know. When it's like Rams, Seahawks, or Rams, Colts, you're like, I don't have a pick on this. I don't care about either of these teams.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I don't know anything about it. And I also it is rather flukish, predictions in anything, you know? That's why I don't really do a lot of predictions. And I mean, the main reason I didn't join this league is because I didn't see the email. But would I really have wanted to, if this is what was going to be a part of it? I don't know. Because now our station's integrity is under attack. And it's not the only thing in the world of sports media that's under attack. Carissa Thompson, who you saw on Amazon last night as part of the Thursday Night Football broadcast, was on the Pardon My Take podcast. And she made an interesting admission that she's already done on her own podcast that she does with Erin Andrews back in 2022. Here she is talking about some of those weird sideline interviews that you'll see during a game that always feels forced and never really feels like you're learning anything new.
And I've said this before, so I haven't been fired for saying it, but I'll say it again. I would make up the report sometimes because, A, the coach wouldn't come out at halftime, or it was too late, and I was like, I didn't want to screw up the report. So I was like, I'm just going to make this up because, first of all, no coach is going to get mad if I say, hey, we need to stop hurting ourselves. We needed to be better on third down. We need to stop turning the ball
pressure
over
the quarterback.
Exactly. and do a better job of getting off the field. Like, they're not going to correct me on that.
Right.
So I'm like, it's fine. I'll just make up the report.
It would be very funny if you were like, yeah, so I just spoke with Arthur Smith at halftime and he said Bijan Robinson blew smoke in his face.
Yeah.
That's why he's not getting the ball.
It would be awesome if you did get that kind of transparency, but you never do. So a lot of people, sideline reporters everywhere, including our own Vanessa Richardson, weighed in on this. They're not happy with Carissa Thompson, who's come under fire. People are asking for her to be fired. She posted on Instagram today, "Okay, let's address the elephant in the room. I have a responsibility to myself and my employers to clarify what is being reported. When on a podcast this week, I said I would make up reports early in my career when I worked as a sideline reporter before I transitioned to my current host role. Working in media, I understand how important words are, and I chose the wrong words to describe the situation. I'm sorry. I have never lied about anything or been unethical during my time as a sports broadcaster." The word unethical brought up because Molly McGrath of ESPN implied that this was unethical behavior, that it's a privilege for sideline reporters to have access on the sideline and to have the ability to talk to coaches and players during and after games across all sports. Okay, first off, I just want to say this. Number one, and I know people are going to say, Paul, how dare you? But I stand with all the single sideline reporters out there. So, but now I'm going to be serious.
Brave, brave.
I stand with them.
No, especially Molly McGrath.
Should I post about it online? Should I post about it online? Do you think it'll help me out if I wrote in to the internet as a bold white knight? It is I, Sir Paul Gallant of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I stand with all sideline reporters, especially the single ones. I stand with them. It is I, Paul Gallant, on my noble steed, in my white armor, shining from head to toe, the sun reflecting off of it. Because I am here to boldly and nobly say the exact same thing as everybody else online. I may have ridden into the fray late, but my voice shall be heard as I stand for sideline reporters everywhere. But on a serious note, one of the things that sucks for women in sports media is that there are very few jobs that they're allowed to have, for being perfectly honest. And the one job that it seems like most women in sports media get forced into, if they're going to be on the air, is some sort of sideline reporter role. Some people like it. Some people are going to treat it like it is a sacred gig. Others, though, are probably going to get a bit jaded either by being in that role or watching other people in that role. Because generally, the sideline report doesn't add that much to a broadcast. Is that to say a sideline reporter has no value? No, it's not. Sideline reporters actually can figure out some pretty important things over the course of a game, specifically when it comes to injury situations, among others. But sometimes the interviews that happen aren't great. It's not to say that the interviewers themselves are doing a poor job. It's not. Just sometimes it's like, all right, what are we doing here? What did we gain from this? I'm someone that does not take my job that seriously. I'm very thankful to have it, but I also realize at the same time that a lot of people could do this job, including people that did not go to the best broadcasting school in the country, Syracuse University, like myself. Just because I went to that school, I used to believe that it meant I was better than everybody else. Over time, I have learned I could not be further from the truth. You grow as you get older. You learn things as you get older. And I'm going to say this again. I feel for a lot of women that are in this industry because you get pigeonholed into being that sideline reporter when many are very capable of doing play-by-play, being a host, hosting a talk show. Obviously, I did one with Vanessa. That show was pretty damn good. One of my best friends in Seattle, Stacey Ross, she does a talk show. But there are very few women that actually get the opportunity to do a sports talk radio show. And there is an inherent sexism in, you know, obviously, people that watch and listen. People generally want to hear a guy talking about all this stuff. Is that right? I don't know. I just know that that's generally a sentiment that a lot of people have. And I feel for women that are in this spot when all of a sudden somebody is saying, who is as prominent as Carissa Thompson, that maybe they didn't take that job as seriously as others do. I can understand people being territorial over it. And that's what's happening right now. People are being very territorial over a field, a position that they might be in. They're very thankful to be in. But some of them want to be in a better position than that. So they are defending this. And I know this does sound like I'm walking on the fence here a bit, but I can understand why Carissa Thompson said, like, yeah, like during some of the sideline reports, we embellished a little bit. The problem is that on part of my take, she said that they outright made him up. And I don't know how you doll that one up after the fact. I don't think there really is a way to doll it up after the fact. Like, that's the big problem here. Had she said basically the same thing that she had said on that podcast before in 2022, I think this is a nothing burger. But I get why people are being so pissed at her and defensive of that field, because she's essentially saying, like, yeah, every now and then I just made stuff up. And I mean, I've been in that spot before in sports media. Obviously, it was a little bit different being in high school at a sports as the sports editor of the Shorecrest Chronicle, this is the biggest lesson I ever learned. I got assigned something I didn't want to talk about. I wanted to focus on writing a Bucks preview, but instead I had to write about girls' tennis. Part of me didn't want to ask anybody about it. And also, the other part of me was too intimidated to go and talk to an attractive girl that was on the team that was a senior when I was a sophomore. So I made up a quote that was literally, "My dad is a good coach." And guess what? I got burnt in the end because she actually went and talked to the person who runs the paper and said, "Hey, I never said this." Guess what happened after that? I almost got suspended from school for a week for this. It was like a big deal. I ended up getting an F in that semester for journalism. It actually brought down my GPA a lot. It was a lesson learned. And, oh, Paul, you got into sports media after that? You were allowed in? Honestly, yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have been allowed in.
Surprise, Syracuse, the best journalism school ever.
I know. See, it doesn't make that funny.
Let in someone who...
But I am being honest here. I made that up. And now I'm super hyper careful about, like, when I'm actually talking about quotes with people, outside of that one story I told about my boss like bringing me into the hall and saying I wasn't talking to enough Texans and pulling out brass knuckles and beating me. Like, other than that time, because that really happened. But like, I'm very careful about what I put out there. And I think Carissa was having fun with the part of my take guys and might have loosened up a little bit more than she normally would in that spot and said that. I tend to believe that she isn't just making stuff up on the fly because I don't think these coaches give that much information for you to be saying something crazy. So say Carissa said, like, as Sean, you were talking about a little bit before, like, just brought up some sort of story that happened that clearly could not have happened. Or, like, was offering some sort of insight like that. It would be fishy if you actually got something out of a sideline report, no?
Yeah, it really, like, what she probably, like, what's more likely is the situation where it's like the coach either didn't come out to talk or what he did say was just like so obviously boring or so obviously general that she like could theoretically, like, if they go, "Hey, we need to commit to running the ball more," she could have just said, "Hey, they look to get Devin Singletary more involved in the game plan." And like that, you are making it up. You are kind of making up because he didn't actually say that.
But if you said we run the ball better.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You're implying it.
Yes. It is like there's a lot of gray area here. And like you said, what she said, though, didn't leave a lot of gray area.
No, it didn't. She said she lied. Like, yes. She said she made things up.
She said made up.
Right.
Make up reports.
And if she had said embellishing here, this is a nothing burger.
Yeah.
People got way too into this last night. I do understand why so many people are being defensive of the sideline reporting industry as a whole. And I'm not saying that job does not matter. I, for the most part, do think most sports media jobs do not matter. I'm thankful I have this one. But again, maybe I'm a little bit too self-deprecating for my own good. I do really think that a lot of people could do these jobs that don't actually do them. I get why everyone's being defensive, but I'm not going to join in with the pitchforks and torches. Everybody else is doing it enough for me. Integrity, though, it's a thing. Some people have it. Patrick Creighton has it. Carissa Thompson doesn't have it. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the six best games of the weekend in football. We don't pick them like Patrick because we're not good at picking. Doesn't matter what we pick for the outcome. It just matters that we tell you the games to watch. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
You know what old Jack Burton always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack Burton. Me.
There's a lot of games you can watch this weekend.
He's got another one. Unbelievable.
He is gone. Kiss McKinney goodbye.
But Paul Gallant is going to pick six games.
There's six.
Pick six.
Wow, that's got pick six written all over it.
You need to watch.
This is exactly what we needed.
Before we get to the picks, not a great weekend for college football. A couple of texts / comments to address. 713-780-3776 to call or text. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. In the last segment, we talked about Carissa Thompson saying that she made up some of her sideline reports. I am somebody that does not take really anything in sports media particularly seriously. I've even gotten to a point now where actual media, I'm having a hard time with it. And perhaps this is part of the problem. People like Carissa Thompson saying what they said. But I know that I very little matter. I can't even speak English. I matter very little in the grand scheme of things. I think a lot of people in this industry have a little bit too much ego. A little bit. I used to have a lot more than I do. And sometimes you probably hear me on the air going full ego. I want you to all understand that when I'm getting like sing-songy and arrogant, I'm generally effing around. I hope that you can understand that. Sometimes my sarcasm is a little bit thick. But a text from Eric in Jersey Village. Props to you, Paul, for being real about what you do. I don't think others in the field would be so honest. Their egos wouldn't let them. I agree with you. I would say that 10 years ago, when I was just getting in, my ego was outrageous. And it still exists. Everyone in this has to have a little bit. But I do think that ultimately, all of us are extremely, extremely replaceable. And I found that out the hard way twice. Got fired at the Texans flagship. Got fired in Seattle. Bleep happens. Virginia Budweed. Wow, Paul, good story. Talking about 10th grade journalism sports editor being too scared to talk to Kelly McLenathan and saying, my dad is a good coach. Yeah, it happened. Wait, is he making up that he went to Syracuse? I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah.
I guess everything, you have to call everything into question when you tell a story like that. And that's the case with Carissa Thompson as well. That's what she's finding out the hard way. And now I'm trusting you guys to trust me going forward.
One, I think Kelly McLenathan's dad was an awful coach now.
Oh.
Two, because she saw in the paper that she said that he was a good coach and was like,
she
I did not
need
say
to
this.
Talk about it, right?
I obviously did not say this.
It was such an obviously fake quote. He was like, my dad is a good coach.
No one talks like that. It's not even a good quote. Even if it's real, it's not a good quote.
I should have got a little bit more dramatic.
Yeah,
there.
Like Carissa Thompson. Also, it was very funny that Joe Burrow got hurt, and so every report that whoever the Amazon Prime sideline reporter is, it's not Carissa. Carissa Thompson does the pre- and post-game show. Whoever their sideline reporter was reporting on Joe Burrow, and the obvious layup tweet for everyone on Twitter was, oh, how do I know she's not making this up? Joe Burrow's fine, actually.
Yeah, he's totally fine. By the way, text with the 281. Eric isn't real. No one said that. Paul made that up. Virginia Buttonweed, nothing strokes Paul's ego like talking about how he doesn't have an ego. Fair points. Fair points. All right. Hey, there are games this weekend. And Sean Napes, your Texas Longhorns at night going on the road to Ames, Iowa to take on Iowa State, who is far from an easy out. They're playing under the lights up there. Texas, a 7-point favorite. Sean, the Noives, how you feeling right now?
At this point in the season, it's like any loss is just going to like ruin your season. So every game is like a giant game. So like you never go like any of these, and they're all conference games too. So you go into all of these like, I don't know. They might lose. They really might. Iowa State has a good record.
Mm-hmm.
They really haven't beaten anyone that's all that good. And anytime they've played a good passing offense, they kind of gotten bombed. And Quinn Ewers plays for Texas. So is Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, Jadavion Sanders. So there is a little bit of that. I'm feeling good about that. Also, honestly, what got me feeling the best about this was what an Iowa State offensive lineman said before the game.
Oh, bulletin board material?
Oh, so much bulletin board
Let's
material.
Let's go.
Hold on. I want to get the exact quote. But he basically...
Fight, Texas, fight!
He was basically like, yeah, we know that they're going to come in here, think they're better than us, and but they, you know, they've lost, what, 3 out of the last 5 in Ames, so they're going to have to play in Ames at dark, and we know we're going to, like, push them around or something. And it's like, hey, the one way to get a Texas team to not overlook you
is to talk about it.
To do that. And so he's going to have to block Devondre Sweat and Byron Murphy all night.
And this is one of many reasons that, again, like you can see why no one actually gives anything to a sideline reporter in the middle of a game. Because there's nothing to be gained from situations like that. And obviously before a game, same kind of deal. But good for you, Sean Mapes. With that in mind, I'm taking Texas to cover because Iowa State gave them that bulletin board material.
Thank you. Let's see. Oh, no. I can only see the video, not the actual.
Oh, of course.
Oh, it's definitely
They're probably trying to scrub it from the internet right now. It's Big Iowa State.
It's definitely going to be one hell of a. Oh, you said heck, actually. I said hell. Little Chris Thompson and all of us.
Damn, man.
It's going to be one heck of a farewell present. They're going to come here. It's going to be senior night in the dark. I don't think they know what's coming for them. I think they're going to come out and figure it out. I just think the Cyclone community in Ames comes out against Texas. We're going to – we beat them four the last five times we've been here, so they don't have a good record here. We have a distaste in our mouth. We definitely want to send them off.
I stopped listening as soon as he said hex. You know, that's sort of where I'm at. Like, Iowa's a flyover state, and how dare they say this about Texas and about Ames being a difficult place to go to.
They got all the big five-star recruits. They have all the nicest stuff in the world, and they think their bleep don't stink.
Oh!
Put it in layman's
terms.
So he
swore there.
No, it says blank. I think he actually said blank, but I said bleep.
Carissa Thompson, little Chris behind Thompson the glass.
I'm driving this guy to talk like it's a PG-13 movie.
It sounds like it's a PG movie.
No, but I'm making it PG-13. I'm bumping it up. Bumping up the spice a little bit.
But you're not violating the FCC, which is the most important thing.
No.
All right, more games to pick. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Abilene Christian versus Texas A&M. There's no spread? We can't bet on this game?
No.
Why not?
Because it's FCS versus
A&M by 100.
That might actually be the spread.
Listen, no more Jimbo Fisher. Offense unlocked. Bobby Petrino gone wild.
That is the no, because there's nothing really you can.
That's bogus. You can't bet on this game.
Yeah, or at least right now. Maybe on Saturday some numbers will come out. But I looked on. Don't tell my bookie, but I looked on other sites when I saw that my bookie didn't have it, and couldn't find it anywhere.
God, that's scary. That's crazy. Kansas State at Kansas or Washington at Oregon State. Kansas State 9.5-point road dogs. Washington 1-point favorite.
No, Kansas home dogs.
Kansas home dogs. My bad. Kansas State, you're right. Kansas State's favorite against Kansas by 9.5. Washington, Oregon State by 1. Which of those two games do we like?
I mean, Washington, Oregon State has more implications.
But it's the West Coast. Who cares?
Yeah, that is true.
Well, and I kind of like this. I kind of like
Kansas.
What's Big 12?
Yeah, rivalry game.
Yeah.
Sunflower Showdown.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Daniels not playing for Kansas, but he did say that he's returning next year for Kansas. Yeah. So that's big. That makes you think that their coach is going to stay.
Okay.
And I think they all get get pumped for this game. I think they come, and I think they cover the 9.5.
They're going to come? They're going to come? All right.
Come on, Paul.
Well, I just said that. They're going to come to the game?
They're going to cover 9.5 points.
Okay.
Jason Bean, shout out.
Hell yeah. You know what? I'm going to take the Fighting Jayhawks. That's right. I'm taking the other Sunflower.
You can't. No, I took it.
Oh, you took Kansas?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I hear Kansas, and then I just get bored, and I think they're all the same thing.
But West Coast, no one cares.
What's worse, Kansas or Iowa?
I mean, football.
Trick question.
Football,
both.
Iowa. Iowa makes me want to drive a ice pick in my brain.
Oh, well, speaking of ice pick brain.
Football.
Football. AFC South. Titans at the Jaguars. Jaguars, 7-point favorites. You know what? I'm taking the Titans. I'm taking the Titans here. Jaguars are frauds.
Yeah. Jags can't be trusted. I think they might win this game. I cannot trust them to beat them by 10 points.
I can't either.
Mike Vrabel coach team.
Come on. Get out of here.
Come on.
Mike Vrabel's got to fight tough.
Yeah. But do you think he's interviewing for the
Patriots job? I hope so.
You didn't even let me finish.
Nope. That's the only person that I want for that job.
That's your, like...
They don't get Vrabel.
You're basically doing the Texas A&M thing right now.
Well, hang on. How dare you compare A&M to the Patriots?
You're going to poach one of the best coaches?
Yeah, he's in Tennessee. They can't afford anybody.
It's the NFL.
Yeah, but Tennessee's poor. And the Patriots are not. Now, they are cheap, the Patriots.
There we go.
But they're not poor. Go. Well, they're paying Belichick more than anybody. I hope so.
He's won a million titles.
Thank you for saying that. Because that's how dare you compare Texas A&M and the Patriots, even remotely.
Yeah, but they don't have an honor code.
A&M?
No, the Patriots.
They hired Bobby Petrino.
The Patriots clearly don't have an honor code.
Does A&M have an honor code?
Yes.
They took a man's job before he had lived out his entire contract. That doesn't seem very honorable
his
to me.
His livelihood.
Yep, they took... The Browns, one-point favorites against the Steelers. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. It's,
Dorian
Kenny Pickett versus Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah.
Give me Kenny Pickett every day. Every day. And
I'm thinking the Browns. I don't think the Steelers are going to get a first down. That's an extreme thing to say.
I think they're not going to get a first down, but I think they're still going
to
win.
I wonder why no one takes our picks seriously.
I think we don't
seem to be taking this segment very seriously.
I think TJ Watt's going to score three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. All right. I think he's going to score four. How about that? But
the Browns still win.
Browns still win.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson scores five.
We may as well just get ridiculous with these predictions. And I know this is Patrick Crane's in his car listening right now. His blood is boiling because we don't take picks seriously.
Yeah. Also, when
this is why I didn't join Patrick. I can't do it seriously.
Also, when I'm doing my picks, when I'm sending my picks to Patrick on Saturday night at like midnight, and all my
look it up while you're doing it.
All my picks are way different than the ones I give on the show because I forget who I pick on the show. It's just in the moment, what I'm feeling.
This is how we really pick like idiots. And that's why you shouldn't listen to
anything. We're the common man's pickers.
Right. And, you know, some would argue we don't take our job seriously enough and that we're, you know, undermining the credibility of sports talk radio as a whole. And what we say to that is yes. We don't even have a pushback. Texans, 5.5-point favorites against the Cardinals. Same old Texans is done. Texans 100, Cardinals nothing. Paul, you predicted 100-0 five times in six games. Yes. I'm a dreamer.
you can say you're a dreamer. But you're not the only one.
I hope someday you find us. And the world can be as one. Imagine.
Yes. Imagine Kyler Murray taking 10,000 steps to run 5 yards and beating the Texans.
I imagine Kyler Murray throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns and beating the Texans.
Yep. I am picking the Texans. I'm picking the same old Texans. Which means I'm picking Arizona.
Whoa! Yeah.
You can't lay 5.5 against Kyler Murray. Come on.
That is serious disrespect to the cat, man. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. By the way, Larry Footstack tweets in, Iowa's worse because of the low alcohol content beer. I think Kansas does the same thing. It's weird. Like, you got all this corn. You got all this stuff to make beer with. Drinks with. And yet, ain't much alcohol in them. Anyway, speaking of booze, let me tell you about my favorite kind of stuff. There's a cowboy in all of us. You know it. I know it. If you're watching on twitch.tv/ESPN975, oh, I just put a cowboy boot on the table. I just put another one on the table. And you know, there's a cowboy in all of us, and I've got some cowboy inside me because I had a little Pendleton whiskey last night. Pendleton whiskey is not only cut with Mount Hood Glacier water, it's made with the finest northern grains. And this is stuff that was invented a long time ago, thanks to the Pendleton Roundup, one of the oldest rodeos in all of North America. If you've ever had the original, it's good. It's like sitting back in your seat and putting both of your cowboy boots up on the desk. It's just like that. Super relaxing, refreshing. Not too sweet. It's really good stuff. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're your daddy.
You was a toilet baby. Tiff just plopped down like a little old turd, just right down in a bowl.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Integrity. It's important. Whether you're making picks with the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 fam, whether you're a sideline reporter or the sports editor of the Shorecrest Preparatory School Chronicle. And it's also important when you're an actual team or a program. And it might be time, Sean Mapes, for us to do a little thing that Green Day once did. might be time for us to sing a song called Good Riddance. Because I'm not sure we can still say that the Astros and Patriots Alliance, the Brotherhood in Arms, I'm not sure that we can allow Michigan to sit with us going forward. I think it's time to make a change, Sean.
Really?
Let me tell you why.
What change? New information hit your desk?
It's not the new information. It's that they surrendered. Now, you could argue the Astros did. They fired Jeff Luhnow. They fired A.J. Hinch.
Tactical retreat, please.
You could argue the Patriots did. They did pay some fines and hand over some draft picks. But Michigan has completely fallen on the sword here as this story continues to get more and more out of control. So yesterday, Michigan released a statement. This morning, the university, Coach Harbaugh, and the Big Ten resolved pending litigation over a three-game suspension for Harbaugh. The conference agreed to close its investigation. The university and Coach Harbaugh accepted the suspension. Coach Harbaugh, with the university's support, decided to accept this sanction to return the focus to our student athletes and their performance on the field. The conference has confirmed that it is not aware of any information suggesting Coach Harbaugh's involvement in the allegations. The university continues to cooperate fully with the NCAA's investigation. Peter Burns of ESPN put together what I think is a pretty accurate timeline of how Michigan has handled all of these sign-stealing allegations. One, this didn't happen. Two, if it happened, not a big deal. Three, we did, but everyone does it. This does sound awful familiar, doesn't it? This does sound a little bit like the Astros stuff. Four, we are the real victims. Oh boy, we're getting close to home here. Five, we will sue. Wait, we never did that. Six, okay, we accept the penalty. What a ride it's been for Michigan football. Connor Stallions, he gone. Well, guess what? There's more. There's a booster named Uncle T, according to a Dan Wetzel report. And on top of that, an assistant coach who was just fired today, Sean, he attempted to destroy evidence after the scandal broke. I was wondering why a random Michigan linebacker coach got canned today.
It's because he took a baseball bat to his work computer?
I guess so. Probably use a magnet. It'd be a lot easier to just use a magnet.
But do you think a linebacker coach would use a magnet when he can just crush it with his bare hands? He can just play it like the accordion.
But there's the iCloud and OneDrive now.
Do you think that the Michigan linebackers coach is like, oh yes, OneDrive and the cloud?
Well, he's a Michigan man. I would think so.
He's a linebackers coach.
Yeah, you got an elevated standard of education in the Big Ten. That's what they tell us.
Yeah, but they still have a booster called Uncle T, which is the most the most SEC Big 12 name for a booster possible.
Yeah, why are we calling him an uncle? He funded the scheme and gave Stallions thousands of dollars for expenses. Honestly, I have no problem with Uncle T. You know what? It's his money. Use it when you need it. If you need to steal signs and you need them now, call Uncle T. I don't know the phone number. So, essentially, the article put together by Dan Wetzel includes a bunch of claims. If you skim it really quickly, it includes a bunch of mini defenses of Jim Harbaugh. Michigan's really just trying to make sure that no one involved in this operation can touch Harbaugh in any way. But this is going to keep going and going, and more digging and digging is going to be done by college football reporters because they actually get a chance to do reporting. Because nothing like this happens on a regular basis in most programs. When this stuff sees the light of day, though, everyone starts swirling around it like vultures. We saw the same thing with Penn State all those years ago. Everyone was reporting on that, and more details that came out over time because the institution itself was literally under siege. Of course, it's going to be some squeaky wheels that speak up that didn't like what they were seeing. It's going to be the same thing here with Michigan. It's a massive operation. So more and more is going to come out, and eventually I do think this is going to come back to Harbaugh, and he's going to be gone.
Yeah, and unlike the like Astros or Patriots scandals, like you said, with the squeaky wheels, there's so many of them. There's so many people who had like who had something to do with this, and that are all like both looking out for themselves or trying to look out for Harbaugh and trying to throw other people under the bus. And there's people with different motives. There's probably people on the inside that don't like this or don't like Harbaugh that is giving away information that they know. So there's just like so much information out there that, I mean, this is kind of like what you get in, what a lot of people get in to, covering college athletics for stuff like this, because also, unlike the Penn State scandal, completely victimless crime. Like, nothing, no one actually got hurt.
What about
this.
The other programs? What about the hurt feelings of Ohio State fans?
Yes, yes. I am sorry for the hurt feelings for Ohio State fans. It honestly, you could say that the biggest victim of this, one of the biggest victims of this, might be CJ Stroud.
I knew you were going there.
And one of the beneficiaries, therefore, the Houston Texans.
Yeah, because if C.J. Stroud wins those games against Michigan,
maybe David Tepper is like, hey, I watch four college football games a year, and he's won two of them.
That is, really, if you go back to college, C.J. Stroud looked terrible in those two games. He really did.
Hmm.
But he looked so good against Georgia.
Hmm. Damn. And everyone else that they play.
They cost him money, Michigan. And you know what?
He should sue.
Even though watching that game last Thanksgiving, I was like, I don't really want to draft C.J. Stroud watching this game. Now, I know that my opinion of Ohio State may have been affected by Michigan. My integrity in question because Michigan did that. So now we've come full circle. And now I think when it comes to the Michigan football program, we can't let them sit with us anymore. We can't. What they've done is worse than what the Astros did. What they've done is worse than what the Patriots did. And now we get to claim moral superiority, which is the most important part about this entire endeavor, is to make sure that you look better than the most recent a-hole that did sort of the same thing you did.
Well, they did do one thing differently than what the Astros did. What did the 2017 Astros do? What'd they have? Rings.
That's true.
A ring. What'd the Patriots get? Rings.
That's so true.
Michigan football.
Well, they did win a Big Ten or two.
Okay, cool.
Sean Mapes made a very lewd gesture.
You beat Iowa in the Big Ten title game. Sorry. Now I have to take you seriously. Nah. No, they don't get to sit with the Astros. They don't get to sit with the Patriots.
They didn't win.
They're not winners.
You're right.
They're not winners. They did all this for nothing, to lose to TCU. That's what they did this for.
Honestly, the Astros, the proof against the Astros is circumstantial. The proof against the Patriots, circumstantial. It was about where the cameras were. It wasn't even about the recording of the cameras. People don't talk about that enough.
They don't. We should start talking about Spideygate again.
You think so?
20 years later, yeah.
Honestly? Not a bad idea.
Now that everyone in the Patriots organization doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's defend the wall. But yeah, the Michigan Wolverines can no longer sit with us. I wanted to welcome them in. Our brothers in arms. Our brothers in cheating. I mean, our brothers in misinterpreting the rules. But clearly this is worse.
Looking for an edge anywhere they can.
Crimes have been committed. And the biggest victim was C.J. Stroud. Speaking of C.J. Stroud, up next, are the Texans finally going to get their murder game? Are they going to murder a bad team? Can they do that on Sunday? I'd love to see it. It's the Paul Gallant Show. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Texans are 5.5-point favorites against Kyler Murray, the Arizona Cardinals, this Sunday at NRG Stadium. You've been hearing both C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans asking for you guys to show up. I guess it led to some drama at another station around this time slot based off of some comments in the Twitch chat. Listen, if you show up early, you know what's going to happen? Texans are going to win by 100. Yeah, you heard it here first. Texans by 100. The first ever 100-point margin of victory in NFL history. It's happening on Sunday. So, of course, you're going to take the Texans to cover by 5.5. I believe. I have faith that same old Texans is in the rearview mirror. And if you go to mybookie.ag, you can have faith that they're going to give you a sick deposit bonus as soon as you sign up with mybookie.ag promo code BET975. 5.5-point favorites, the Texans are. Come on. This is the Cardinals. Look what they do. Cardinals get killed by house cats on a regular basis. I'm a lame bird. Oh, I'm red. Look at me. Yeah, cat could eat you. A house cat. We're not talking wild cats. We're not talking tigers or leopards. We're talking a house cat. And the Houston Texans are going to do to the Cardinals what house cats do. Murder. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet on the Texans. Sign up. Win big today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
A comment. Could Uncle T be Tom Brady? How dare you? How dare you? Sean Mapes is moving his head back and forth. Uncle T, for those who don't know, a booster for Michigan who may have partially funded the scouting scheme. That's the most recent tidbit in addition to assistant coach Chris Partridge, who was fired for trying to destroy computer evidence. I think that is an outrageous accusation made only by a heretic against my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. To call him Uncle T, he would be Father T, number one, if he went by an acronym. And number two, he would never. How dare you?
No, he would never be involved in things that are outside the rules. By the way, the
he never has been. The Michigan was a witch hunt.
The Michigan
they made up that evidence.
The Michigan linebackers coach who got fired. What did he try to do? Tried to destroy his computer. Evidence. What did Tom Brady do during Deflategate?
He didn't give the NFL his phone.
He tried to destroy. He did destroy his phone.
Do you want the NFL to see your nudes?
No.
With Giselle.
No, I'm just saying that there is a pattern of behavior.
Had he given his phone to the NFL, those sons of bitches would have found all of the nudes, and there would have been another fappening. You know it, I know it. You think the NFL is going to be looking for like text? No, they're going to look for nudes.
Didn't the Dolphins also lose a couple first round picks for their owner meeting with Tom Brady and doing some light tampering? So
they're on a yacht in Miami.
So
lots of things happen on those.
And then
they want to see what they wanted the nudes there too.
Now there's an Uncle T out there.
It's not Tom Brady.
Basically, they also say like financing Connor Stallion's like sign stealing, like or in game scouting.
So they like buy him hot dogs,
or just, yeah, they like buy him a plane ticket to Kalamazoo. That's what he's doing. A hotel room in East Lansing, Michigan. Cool.
Wow.
A flight straight to West Lafayette, Indiana, and a hotel room at a La Quinta there?
Yeah, is it? I mean, I imagine it's probably cheaper than like a hotel stay in the Balkans, right?
It's cheaper than the phone that Tom Brady destroyed.
Probably get a hotel in the, in Gaza for.
Okay. Now who won't stop talking about it?
I'm just saying.
Listen to the podcast, the Paul Gallant Show podcast.
Palestine?
For more,
Iowa?
Hour one for more for more Palestine-Israel talk. I like teasing stuff that we didn't do. Like, listen to the podcast for stuff we didn't do.
That's
we didn't say.
That is true, because I did that during a commercial break for no reason at all today. But listen, I was just getting my Carissa Thompson on, okay? Like, earlier in the show, we talked about President Trump. We talked about Ukraine and Palestine. And we brought it back to the Houston Texans.
Listen to the podcast.
You got to listen to the podcast to find it. It's there. Trust us. That's why you got to download the podcast. Just keep listening. Listen, and you'll find.
Listen to it backwards.
You'll find the ammunition that you want to get me fired with. You'll find it, but you have to download the podcast and listen to it. And if you didn't hear it then guess what? You delete the podcast, but then you download it again. And then you leave a 5-star rating on both Apple and on Spotify, and then you'll find it. We talked about that. You know, we talked about JFK's assassination. We talked about the Knights Templar. We talked about Masons. I gave away all the secrets, but it's only an hour one of the podcast. All right, Houston Texans. They got a game on Sunday. And I do think that this is going to be the first game where they blow out a team that stinks. Because think about it. Their two blowouts this year, who have they come against? Steelers, 6-3 team right now. Jaguars, first place in the AFC South. Those wins look better than the one that they just had against the Cincinnati Bengals team that featured Joe Burrow, who may have not had a wrist in that game. And it's about time that they do this against bums. Can you please do what Patrick Bateman did to the homeless people in American Psycho? Can you do that? I'm not suggesting that violence on a homeless person is good. I'm not. I would never do that. I'm saying I want the Texans to murder the Cardinals, and they have an opportunity to do it on Sunday. The biggest game of the season, the greatest day of their lives. Let's murder birds. Let's murder birds. A lot of murder talk today.
Were you wanting a chant to start from that?
Yeah.
Let's murder birds.
Let's murder birds. Kill the birds. Toppins a Cardinal. Toppins. Toppins. Toppins a Cardinal. That's from Mary Poppins. She wanted the kids to kill the birds. And guess what? They didn't. And the pigeon population of London soared. Yeah, this show's been dumb. Hey, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Okay? It's going to be a great weekend. The greatest weekend of your life. It's the greatest day of your life.
Some would say that your weekend has already started, Paul.
Shut up. I have integrity, unlike Carissa Thompson.
The show ended around 11:15, right before the pick segment.
And on that
everything else has just been bonus.
And on that note, that's it. That's it. It's over. Go home. Just kidding. Listen to Connor and Beard up next. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Peace.